Welcome to the Fantasy Football Foursome. The Foursome answer your questions about players to pick up, players to drop, weekly matchups, injury reports, and current trends in fantasy football. Now, here's the host of the Fantasy Football Foursome, John Jennings.
Good Saturday morning. It is week two of the NFL season and time for another edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. This show comes every single week to you thanks to these sponsors. That's United States Marine Corps, ACC Midwest Transportation, West Central Trophies, and Ruff's Wings and Sports Bar. Here's who's on the show this week. Go ahead, Eric. Introduce yourself.
My name's Eric LeBratton from Hutchinson, Minnesota. I was about 500 for all my fantasy this first week, John, but you got to stick with your guys. You drafted them. Stick with them.
Except Drake London. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, defending reigning Lombardi champ. Started the season off with the most points scored in week one. I think my bench outscored three teams, to be honest with you. But honestly, just feel kind of fortunate because overall, I think for people, fantasy football over NFL opening weekend was kind of a dud. A lot of superstars and proven performers and high draft picks just didn't get a whole lot done last weekend. So looking forward to some offenses, maybe figuring some things out in week two and getting some points on the board.
Lyle.
Lyle Dickman in Litchfield, Minnesota. 3-0 in my first three matchups, so I'll take that anytime. But I think you're right. 59 total touchdowns, I think, were scored in week one, which is way down. So scoring was hard to find in fantasy last week.
Jack.
5-1 across six leagues. Naturally, the one that took a loss in was the Loon League. Drake London with no targets. I had a couple other. I think my tight end might not have got anything. I can't remember. But I do have Tua in almost all of my leagues, and it is Tua time, baby. Let's go.
Well, my name is John Jennings. I'm not even going to get into my week of fantasy football. It was pathetic. Anyway, for the next hour, we're going to be talking everything there is to talk about in the world of fantasy football. Our goal is to help you win your league. And you want to run anything past us, trades, starts, sits, things like that, shoot us a text. 320-434-1234. Time for the ACC Midwest Transportation Injury Report. And as always, you watch the NFL. Don't go based on what we're talking about. Watch it tomorrow. See who's in and who's out. Jerry Jeudy still hamstring grade 2. He's probably 80% healthy right now. Terry McLaurin with the turf toe. It's grade 1. Hard to push off. He's still not 100%. Mark Andrews in a quad strain. Inactive for week 1. Probably in for week 2. Probably, but limited snaps. Zach Moss, fractured forearm. Head surgery. He's close to 100%. Which is a good thing because the Colts running game was awful. Kadarius Toney, well, whatever you want to do with him. Anyway, meniscus tear surgery. He's still, don't worry about it. Jackson Smith and Jigma, he had that fractured wrist. Looks like he's going to be okay. He was out there last week. Darren Waller with a chronic hamstring issue. Keep an eye on what they do with him. Romeo Doubs, hamstring strain. Risky wide receiver 1. Probably a risky wide receiver 2 this week. Christian Watson with a hamstring. Probably out week 2. Hollywood Brown, another hamstring. Jalen Waddle had an oblique strain. Should be about 90% healed. George Kittle, still maybe going to be out there for week 2. Travis Kelce, not sure what's going on there. Bone bruise in the left knee. He should play this week. Joe Burrow, he's fine. Austin Eckler, high ankle sprain. Might be out this week. We'll talk about who to pick up during our waiver wire section there. And Raheem Mostert should play once again. Devontae Adams had a rest day this week because he's a veteran. Start him with confidence. Deontay Johnson will be out this week. Pat Freiermuth had a chest injury. May still play this week as well. All right, Thursday night football. Lyle, Vikings in action. It wasn't really as close as the score showed.
No, not really. Philly dominated the trenches. So, but that's nothing new. I mean, that's just what the Vikings have been kind of dealing with the last few years. So, Eagles could have ran that ball for 500 yards last night if they wanted to. They just kind of throttled her down, I think, a little bit in that fourth quarter. And Vikings did do some good things on offense. But, yeah, this defense is still a major problem.
Kirk had a nice night, Justin. Going back to what Lyle said about running the ball, though, did we even know DeAndre Swift had the ball at the end of the game?
So I'm going to go on kind of a random little tangent right now, but having Jack on the show has a couple of benefits. I know that's crazy to hear, but one of them is you can hear, you can see from the other side, the lunacy of like passionate fans, right, over their team. Like you just get emotionally involved and invested, and it causes you to overreact. And, you know, this year I've looked at the Vikings and decided win or lose, right? It's not going to impact my life. I know the problems. Lyle laid them out. The interior line's been a problem forever. The O-line's been a problem. Now the interior line's a huge problem. But Kirk Cousins isn't the problem. Justin Jefferson's not the problem. The coaching staff, at least the head coach and defensive coordinator, I don't think they're the problem. And, look, they're doing their best. You know, that's how I choose to look at it. Those guys want to win. They're trying. They're giving it their all. They're just not good enough. There's not enough talent on the offensive line. And it doesn't appear that there's enough talent on the defensive side of the ball to make up for that. The defense is definitely outperforming their talent level. They've played solid for two games, and they stepped up last night. When the offense marched down the field and scored and got it to 14, the defense held Philly immediately on the next possession, gave the offense a chance to turn the momentum in that game, and they went 3-and-out. And look, you can say that's Cousins' problem, right? And he does shoulder some of the blame, but he's also got defenders in his face coming right through the middle of the line every snap, whether it's a run or a pass. And when you do a play action, he's basically turning around to a defender. And by some, I don't know, because he is pretty smart, he knows at least where to chuck the ball, right? He throws it a little blindly, but it's towards a receiver at least. He does some. That's what I have to say about it, John.
Rock and roll. Jack, off air, we talked about it. You said you wanted to chat about it quick on air. We just got a minute or so. Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, are they dating?
Apparently they are. According to his brother's podcast, she enjoys the mustache. You know, what I don't understand is what a guy like Travis Kelce sees in a Taylor Swift. To me, her music, acumen is good. Her looks are not, her songs are not, but you know, her work ethic and the fact she's doing it on her own, a lot of respect. That being said, Travis Kelce will hopefully play this week so that my team can win. I know if Arthur Smith was coaching him, he wouldn't get any looks or receptions because he's a terrible tight ends coach. And I agree with everything Justin said, especially the Minnesota defense overworking their talent. They did look much better. This is an O-line problem big time.
Tackling the tough topics, that's what we do here at the Fantasy Football Foursome. We will come back and talk daily fantasy news and strategy. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Thanks for joining us this morning. And again, if we can help you out in any way, shape, or form, it's that Loon text line, 320-434-1234. It is time to talk daily fantasy news and strategy. And talk about quarterbacks, first of all, that you're looking at this week. Eric, what do you got for us?
John, I'm going to give you a guy. You're saving about $2,000 on Patrick, not taking Patrick Mahomes and going with the guy who he's playing against, Trevor Lawrence. I think they're going to be scoring a lot of points in this game, and they're going to be trying to come back, a lot of garbage time points. Most likely they'll be playing from behind and trying to keep up with the Kansas City Chiefs. So Trevor Lawrence coming in at $6,700 on DraftKings.
Lyle, quarterbacks.
I like to call on Lawrence, especially if you're looking to save a few bucks. If you really want to save some big money, I know it's Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay, but they are playing Chicago at home. Chicago has an atrocious pass rush and defense, $5,100. Get yourself two Baker Mayfield touchdowns and take it to the bank.
Jack.
Yeah, don't start Baker Mayfield. Come on. All right. I'm going to go anti-homer, John. I'm going with my man, J-Love, Green Bay coming to Atlanta. This is based off, one, his performance. Two, you know, the Atlanta defense played fairly well against Bryce Young, but I think Jordan Love is definitely the next echelon of QB. And I think they're going to put up some points on Atlanta like they have, regardless of whether it was Favre, Rodgers, a sketchy backup, or whatever. So for $5,500, you can get J Love in there. I bet he gets you 18 plus fantasy points.
This week, I like Daniel Jones. Bounce back. It's a cash play only. I wouldn't play him in GPP. But I like Daniel Jones, and there's one reason to like Daniel Jones, and it's because they're playing the Arizona Cardinals. And the other reason I like Daniel Jones is he's $6,000. So that can save you some money and get you somebody else to plug in cash games for running backs and wide receivers. Running backs, Lyle, what do you got this week?
I'm going to go with Ramondre Stevenson, $6,700 on DraftKings. I think the part I like about having him in your lineup this year, even than last year, more than last year, is because he's going to be more involved in the pass catching aspect of the game. And they're probably going to have to do that if they want to keep up with Miami at Tua this week.
Jack.
Well, those are all just terrible takes. I don't know what's going on with you guys, but for my running back this week, I'm definitely going to – actually, the list of who I'm avoiding is a bigger list than who I'm actually plugging in. Give me 1 second, John. I had him on here, and I accidentally X'd out of my guy here. But, Tyler Allgeier. Going with some Tyler Allgeier. I'm going to stick in the Atlanta game for just a little bit. I think if you want to spend money, Saquon Barkley, again, going against Arizona, would be a way to go. But I tell you this, you better – don't put all your money on Pollard and all these other guys this week. There's some – tough defensive matchups for some of these running backs.
Okay. Justin, you got a running back?
Mostert. I'll give you old Raheem Mostert for the Dolphins, who is only $5,800 and getting all the rushing work in Miami.
Eric, give me a running back.
I'm going to go with Dalvin Cook going against your Cowboys this week. He's coming in at $6,000. I think he gets going this week, John. And I think he's a safe play, saving some money. I see McCaffrey's $8,900. So, trying to save a little bit of money on running backs, John.
I liked what I saw out of Javonte Williams. Real nice matchup this week. And what do we got him down at? $5,600. Again, it's a mid-range money-saving play. He's projected for 15.4 points. I like that. He had 13 rushes, 52 yards, 4 receptions. Starting to remind me a little bit of Sean Payton's Alvin Kamara role that did you pretty well if you had Alvin Kamara over those couple of years. I think they're easing him back in based on that leg injury that he had last year. Wide receiver is Jack. Over to you. What do you got for this week?
Yeah, if Judge Judy plays out there in Denver with Washington coming to them, I think you got to plug him in for $6,600. He should go back to being Wilson's favorite target if he's healthy and on the field. And then I would say, you know, roll the dice and pick Lockett or Metcalf. I just want some part of the Seattle offense against Detroit. Detroit's going to put up points, but they also are the most giving away of yards to opposing offenses. So I think getting one of those two receivers in there, and they're all right around that 6,600 to 6,100 mark.
Eric, give me a wide receiver.
Yeah, I'm going to give you some advice that's not very helpful. I mean, surprised you should take Tyreek Hill. I don't know if anybody watched that Miami game, but Tyreek Hill is a beast and should be played in all leagues. But if you're trying to save some money, I do like DeAndre Hopkins. I think that he's going to continually get going there in Tennessee, and they're going to be playing from behind. That Chargers defense isn't the greatest. So I like Hopkins this week coming out and scoring some points.
Receivers, Lyle.
Hey, John.
He only cost $6,700, John. $6,700, right. That's pretty cheap.
Hey, John, I agree with Eric on Hill, but just remember, Belichick's great at taking away one potent weapon, and I assume he's going to just try to shut Hill down.
That's fair. Lyle, wide receivers.
I like saving some money and putting Zay Flowers in your lineup. I was shocked he got 10 targets, 9 catches in his first game. I know it's a Ravens passing attack that, well, it's a little unsettled yet just because Andrews hasn't been part of the offense, but if you're only spending $5,000, I like Zay Flowers, and if you want to go real, real deep in the bin, you can go maybe for some Josh Reynolds, $3,700 for the Detroit number 2 wide receiver.
So I'll throw out some names of mid-range wide receivers that I think are steals. The first one is Puka Nacua, which he's $4,900 this week, 15 targets, 10 catches. I think he's going to have a role even when Cooper Kupp comes back. I think that's probably the first one you put in based on the price. I think Brandon Ayuk at $5,800 is a steal. I like Zay Jones at Jacksonville. Christian Kirk was non-existent in that game. And when they lined up with only two receivers, it was Ridley and it was Zay Jones. Zay Jones coming in at $4,700. And I think there's some real value at wide receiver to get yourself a top tier running back for this week. Let's move on to tight ends. Eric, you got a tight end?
Yeah, I'm gonna give you one that I wouldn't have thought at the beginning of the year was going to be a big one. But if you caught any of that New England game last week, Hunter Henry looked like the real deal out there, and they're going to be playing against Miami, who, you know, gives it up more than Jack's boyfriend. So, I mean, just put him out there. Hunter Henry coming in at 3,800, where Kelsey's coming in at 7,600. So, I mean, you're going to save some money there for a guy who probably won't put up Kelsey numbers, but last week looked like a top five tight end.
Jack, tight end.
Justin, did you have some?
Yeah, I'll throw Hayden Hurst out there. I'm not sure what his value is, but I like me some Hayden Hurst.
$3,400.
Yeah, I had a good week last week.
Yeah, my guy I was going with was Hunter Henry as well. For $3,800, I mean, and it's not just because he had a good week. It's because Miami's going to put up points and New England's going to have to answer. And their receiving core is a little banged up. Mac Jones actually looked fairly good. So I think Hunter Henry could be a safe play for you, not just in fantasy, but or in daily, but in regular too. We'll talk about him in, waiver wire.
Lyle.
I like the Hunt Henry call. If you're going to dig a little deeper, maybe even Zach Ertz. I think he had 10 targets the first week. I know Arizona's a dumpster fire, but somebody's got to catch the ball, and they're going to be losing a lot of football games this year. So just a volume play, Ertz at 3,500.
I like Luke Musgrave. He should have had a bigger game than he had last week. He had 3 receptions, 50 yards in his first game against the Bears. Should have had a touchdown, but whatever. $3,200. He's slated for 8.4 points. I don't know how he can't get you at least 10 this week against the Falcons. I think that's a pretty easy play for cash and tournaments and save yourself a ton of money. Let's roll through defenses quick, Lyle.
Cowboys, if you got the money, right? Playing the Jets and Wilson. So, but maybe save a few bucks and pick on whoever's playing the Cardinals. Who's the Cardinals got this week again? Giants, maybe pick the Giants up, save a few bucks.
Yeah, I hear you there. Jack?
I don't trust any part of the Giants outside of Saquon Barkley to get 30 handoffs. I say 100% start Dallas. We had a preseason bet about Garrett Wilson and where he finishes in receivers. And guess what, boys? Last week, after about 4 snaps, I won that bet. So he is not finishing even in the top 10 of receivers this year. Zach Wilson's about to get mega exposed. Dallas is going to destroy them. I think if you avoid the Dallas defense this week, you've avoided all the chalk and you can't win.
I think Zach Wilson should be at anyway, we're not talking about that. Eric, give me a defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Dallas defense is kind of a no-brainer. I mean, if you watched that game last week against the Giants, it was ridiculous. Now they got the Jets, and man, they look like the real deal. But if you want to save some money, you know, maybe the Dolphins against New England, but, you know, that kind of contradicts what I said earlier. That defense actually isn't that bad, and you're looking for turnovers, you're looking for sacks. So the Miami defense, not a horrible play against New England this week, unless you for some reason think New England is real. I don't mind that Miami defense, but spend the extra $1,000 and take Dallas, just like Lyle said.
If you need the
I'm going to jump in, John.
Yep.
I'll give you one more. For $3,000, pick up Detroit against Seattle. Seattle looked pretty rough last week. Smith was not sharp, and that Detroit defense is much improved. The pass rush is legit, and the secondary is good. So I can absolutely see, you know, turnover in this game. $3,000, Detroit.
The two punt plays I'll give you for defense, because I like punting defense, are the Titans at 2,400 against the Chargers. The Titans can stop the run. The Chargers really can just run, at least based on last week. I know there were some catch. I know that Keenan Allen and those guys did all right, but 2,400 there, $200 more Arizona against the Giants. I know I like Jones for a bounce back week, but remember, it's Daniel Jones, and they scored 0 points last week, and you can get them for $2,600. All right,
we all immediately ignored your Daniel Jones take, John, so your Arizona defense take makes tons of sense.
Thank you very much.
You're really telling people to put their money on Daniel Jones.
I'm telling you, for cash, I think he's going to be okay. And we will come back
out of your mind
and talk the United States Marine Corps waiver wire warriors. Thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Football Foursome. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Thanks for joining us this morning. Want to remind you, hey, if you're looking for some hardware to give away for your Fantasy League champions, go see our friends at West Central Trophies. Just go online, westcentraltrophies.com. Nathan and the staff over there made the Lombardi for us, which is proudly displayed right here in our Uptown Wilmer location. Stop by and take a look at it. But it isn't just that trophy. They have all kinds of plaques and other things that you could use to create a very nice memento for your fantasy football season. Online, westcentraltrophies.com. Time for the United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors. I have heard others say that this might be the best waiver week in recent memory. And, gang, this is where you can make or break your season right now, is getting some of these players rostered. What are you seeing for quarterbacks on the waiver wire, Eric?
I'm going to give you the top, you know, picked up quarterback. He's been picked up in 32% of leagues, still available in 50% of leagues, Brock Purdy. The Niners looked real. They're going to have a battle against the Rams this week, so I keep expectations a little low. It's always a battle between those two teams, but I definitely see him being able to sneak in 3 touchdowns each and every week. So Brock Purdy better be on your at least on your bench at this point, John, but again, available in 50% of leagues.
I think he's the real deal. Lyle?
I'm going to go Jordan Love. I have him back as a backup in my Loon League, but he's available in about 40% of leagues. Getting Atlanta. I think the only thing I'm worried about with Love this week in particular is that everybody's banged up. But I think for the long haul, Jordan Love is a good pickup.
Jack?
Well, my number one piece of advice is going to be don't pick up Daniel Jones, like John's going to tell you, because that's an awful thing to do. Brock Purdy's definitely the number one guy to pick up. Available in a little bit less leagues out there, but Russell Wilson is still available in about 40% of leagues. And if Judy's back and healthy, Wilson is still a hell of an athlete, can still throw the ball well. He's got great receiving options. You know, again, we're talking waiver wire QB in week one. These guys already gave you, you know, Purdy and Love. I would say Wilson would be my next.
Well, yeah. Don't pick up Daniel Jones, pick up Russell Wilson. Oh, Jack. Justin, give me a quarterback.
Absolutely. All right, I'm going to tell you to pick up Jared Goff and pick him up for the season while you can. He's available in 50% of leagues. And it doesn't even matter who he plays this week, which is Seattle, and I think it's actually a pretty good matchup for him. I believe the game's in Detroit as well. But it's for the season. He plays the Bears twice, he plays the Vikings twice, and he plays the Packers twice. And the Packers defense is a little bit up in the air exactly how good or bad they are, but I think it's a favorable matchup right now based on what we know. And then the rest of their schedule. So Jared Goff available in 50% of leagues.
Yeah, this is Aaron Rodgers, if you had him type of talk right here. And nobody wants to talk about this guy, but Mac Jones had 316 yards, 3 touchdowns, only 1 interception against Philadelphia last week. Remember, we've got a Bill O'Brien-led offense now. They're up against Miami this week. Guess what? They're going to have to throw the ball a little bit. And Mac Jones, again, 316-3 last week and got you a lot of 20, almost 25 points. So
I like Mac Jones,
yep,
John.
Yep.
I think that's a good take.
I think he's all right. All right, let's move on to running backs, Lyle. What do you see out there?
Well, this is assuming you're picking up guys that are maybe a little questionable, banged up, and that's Austin Eckler this week. So you're looking for Joshua Kelly because he got his 16 touches last week, even with Eckler playing. If he's out, I mean, he's going to be a big fantasy producer, probably a top 12 running back this week if Eckler's out. So make sure he's on your roster and wait it out on Sunday.
Eckler got interviewed and told everybody on his interview to pick up Joshua Kelly for fantasy football. Jack, give me a running back.
Well, I guess I'll give you the obvious with Kyren Williams out there with the Rams, still available in about 45% of leagues. He's been rostered a lot here lately, but he got 2 touchdowns, 15 touches last week, but those 2 touchdowns gave him a big week. So, you know, you probably have a roster spot where you're holding on to some garbage like a Daniel Jones or anyone from the New York Giants, not named Saquon Barkley, and you could just get rid of those guys. I'd rather start Kyren Williams in the flex spot at RB and no QB than Daniel Jones and whoever John's running backs are.
Can't wait till Sunday. Justin, give me a running back.
So I'm going to give you more of a kind of just a general tip. Right now, last week, this week, and next week is the time to just pay attention to all moves happening in your league. People are making tough roster decisions. They're cutting people that they normally won't cut or likely won't cut later into the season. So that puts some guys on the waiver wire that you can maybe snag up after the initial rush and the games are over. So pay close attention to that. It's absolutely worth it. I found myself having to make some tough decisions because all the injuries that we've had. And then even if there's nobody you like, if you get an injury late, put your guy in the IR. Go put somebody in that roster spot, even if it's just a complete dart throw, because you never know. Go grab a backup running back for somebody just in case something happens over the weekend. Like, you know, J.K. Dobbins goes down. Now, if you had Justice Hill sitting in there that you plugged onto your roster last week, you might have something, right? You might not, but at least you're at, you know, you're in the game a little bit. So that's my just general tip. Pay attention to what's happening because guys are cutting people to fill a roster spot right now.
Eric, got a running back?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Justice Hill. I think he's probably the guy over Gus the Bus to take over there in Baltimore. You could get a piece of either one of those Baltimore running backs and feel, you know, you're not quite sure who's going to get it. Probably going to be a split carry thing, but I think Justice Hill is the guy to own. Also, make sure you go pick up your handcuff. Now is the time to pick up your handcuff if you got a roster spot. It's like having insurance on your brand new car. I mean, you gotta insure it. The guys who didn't have Kelly this week, like Lyle had said, are disappointed.
I'm going to throw out a couple names, and one is Jaylen Warren, only owned in 41% of leagues. I think people are scared that because he didn't have such a great output last week. Pittsburgh looked terrible, by the way. I think Jaylen Warren is going to climb his way into the feature back role for Pittsburgh and still available in almost 60% of leagues. And I noticed a couple of things, too. J.K. Dobbins still rostered in 37% of leagues. He's not coming back. He's got an Achilles tear. If you've got him, I think you can go ahead and safely drop him unless you're in a dynasty league. Also, Deion Jackson somehow rostered in 27% of leagues. He looked terrible last week. I mean, he's done. He's total garbage. Done. All right, wide receivers, Jack.
Yeah, I'm going to give you Josh Reynolds. Going to stick with the Detroit theme a little bit here. Available in, I don't know, every freaking league, but got 12 fantasy points last week, 7 targets, 4 receptions. I think he's someone worth putting on your bench.
Justin, wide receivers.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Zay Jones for Jacksonville. He's available in 50%+ of leagues right now. Christian Kirk was absolutely not involved. He is solely the slot receiver. So in 2 wide receiver sets, he's not on the field. That's Zay Jones with Calvin Ridley, who looked like an absolute alpha, picked up right where he left off all those months ago. So that's going to open some things up for Zay Jones for single coverage. And he's a good receiver. So Zay Jones available in 50% of leagues.
Wide receivers, Eric.
Yeah, maybe get yourself some Kendrick Bourne. I mean, again, he's the guy to own in New England, it looks like. You know, Mac Jones is better than we thought he was. And that New England team's going to have to score some points this week. So if it's not Hunter Henry, why not Kendrick Bourne?
Lyle.
Available, John, and available in about 65% of leagues. So he's out there.
Lyle, wide receivers.
A big Packer fan per se, but I think you got to own Romeo Doubs. He's 32% owned, only had 2 touchdowns last week. And there's no Christian Watson probably again this week. Aaron Jones is banged up. They don't have a lot of other options besides Dobbs, so I'd be suiting him up and probably even in flex again this week.
Allen Robinson, 91% of leagues, and that's only because Deontay Johnson went down. I think, and Allen Robinson got like 10 points last week for you. This is a flex play only for sure. If you want to take another dart throw, it's Rashid Shaheed over in New Orleans. Last week, 5 receptions, 89 yards. Michael Thomas did catch the ball, too. But Rashid Shaheed looking like he might be a flex play at some point for you this season. He had 19 points last week. Let's run through
John,
tight end. Yeah.
You've been saying Allen Robinson's name on this show since the dawn of time. It's time to be done with that name. Have you ever won the Lombardi?
Yes, I have.
Okay, you get probably one more time to say Allen Robinson, and that's it.
Deontay Johnson went down. I said flex play only, and I'm not even confident I put him in there, but it's okay to roster him. That's all right. Tight ends, Justin.
Daniel Jones and Allen Robinson. Look at that lineup.
Go ahead, Justin.
All right. I'm going to give you – I talked about him a little bit earlier in the daily play. I'm going to say Hayden Hurst. For the Carolina Panthers. He's a rookie quarterback's best friend. Hayden Hurst has had a couple, you know, top 10 seasons, believe it or not, in his 5 receptions last week, 41 yards, got a touchdown. And I think he can become a 8 to 10 point per week player for you on the season. So Hayden Hurst.
All you can ask for out of a tight end. Eric.
Yeah, I mean, I already gave you the name Hunter Henry. He's the no-brainer here, but I'll go a little bit further down on the list. I'm going to give you Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz making an appearance in Arizona, and he's kind of the go-to guy, especially in the red zone. So coming up with 8 fantasy points last week, I believe Zach Ertz, he's a guy that you could plug and play in case you have an injury or Kelsey doesn't go, something like that.
Lyle, tight ends.
You guys hit the top three on my list. Henry, Hurst, and Ertz. After that, it's back to tight end roulette.
Jack?
Yeah, I agree, but except I'll add on to this, and I'm just going to say it. If you got like a Waller and with the Giants especially, or a Kyle Pitts, or some of these big-name guys that aren't going to do crap all season, and you're nervous about picking up a Hunter Henry, just trade those guys off for some whatever and get you some Hunter Henry. I'd way rather have him in my lineup every week. He's been a phenomenal tight end everywhere he's been, and it looks like Mac Jones is going to use him. And I'm literally afraid with guys like Pitts and like Drake London, all these they're going to ride my team all year and bring me nothing. So I think you just have to make a call, and don't be afraid to get these guys like Hurst and Henry, who are barely rostered, and drop these guys. Like even with Zach Ertz, he's a big name, so he's rostered more, but he's not going to have as good a year as Henry.
The guy who ran the most routes last week in Miami, the most routes, not Tyreek Hill, not Jalen Waddle, it was Durham Smythe. This is a deep league play only at this point. He is available. Trust me when I tell you that. The only people who have him in fantasy football are his family, based on these numbers. And he had 3 receptions last week for like 44 yards, got you about 7.5, 8 points, something like that last week. He ran the most routes. If that's happening, the targets may come. Again, deep league play only. All right, we're going to come back and talk Trench'em and Bench'em for week 2 on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Back for the final segment here of today's Fantasy Football Foursome. Hey, if we go long, what we're going to do is we're going to send that audio over to the Loon app or online at 941theloon.com. And so when we go off the air, if there's still some games left to go, hey, you can listen to the start set of Bench'em and Trench'em on that site for sure. All right, let's talk about who to start, who to sit. Kick off with the noon games. Eric, Green Bay taking on the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, John, I mean, these two teams are both 1-0, and the Vikings are 0-2. What is actually happening in this world, okay? These two teams are awful. So who am I putting in the trenches? Well, I'm not putting Ritter in the trenches. I mean, after 115 passing yards and a touchdown in the first week, we're not putting that guy in the trenches. You can obviously start Algier or Robinson. You're definitely starting Robinson as the number one because that's where you drafted him. But Algier, he should definitely be a sexy flexy or an RB2. There's a kind of a timeshare going on, which it's not good for fantasy owners, John. It's good for the Falcons, not good for the fantasy owners. But you got both those guys in the trenches. Kyle Pitts, safely put him on the bench. For some reason, they do not know how to use this guy. And, London, I mean, seriously, had one target. So drop him. Definitely put him on the bench. And that's it on the Atlanta side of the ball. On the Green Bay side of the ball, I'm benching Love after a 3-touchdown performance, but that's just me. I know that's Lyle's guy. He's not going to keep this up, and if he does, that's disappointing for Vikings fans. Aaron Jones had a really good game. Keep an eye out for that injury. I see him came up a little bit hobbled, so make sure he's going to be out there. He's definitely going to be a timeshare, so I'm not putting him out there with confidence, but Aaron Jones, he should be in each and every lineup if he plays. And who am I putting as wide receiver? Well, Aaron Jones is their best wide receiver, so you're going to put him in there. But maybe some Musgrave, Dobbs. I'm putting all these guys on the bench. Dobbs did have 2 touchdowns, but I don't see that continuing. That's it on the Green Bay side. You can put safely both these defenses in there and see what happens.
Atlanta favored by 1.5. Jack, Raiders, Bills.
All right, we'll make this one easy. On the Raiders, I'm just going with Devontae Adams and Josh Jacobs. No Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm not sure he makes it out of this game healthy. I thought he took a pretty solid hit last week. But on the Buffalo side of the ball, so 2 starts in Vegas. On the Buffalo side of the ball, it's going to be the same lineup of Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, Kincaid. I don't even mind throwing Knox in there as a in a tight end mandatory or something like that, or a deep, deep league. And that Bills defense for sure. The Raiders have some good offensive weapons, but I just don't think Jimmy G's the man to get it done. So I like the Bills to have a good bounce back win here.
Chance of rain in the forecast, and Buffalo favored by 8.5. Lyle, Baltimore, Cincinnati.
Yeah, for Baltimore, I got like 2.5 starts. Let's put it this way. Lamar Jackson, you're playing every week just because that's where you drafted him, and he's a top 5-10 quarterback in the league at season end. He just had a bad week one. And I think you're playing Zay Flowers. I think just the target volume alone should have him as a wide receiver 3 for you. And, of course, you're playing Mark Andrews if he's healthy. But he's been limited all week, and he didn't play last week, so I think you're going to have to wait that one out until game time. And I just am not trusting Gus Edwards and Justice Hill at this point. I don't know which one they're going to play more. Both of them had like 8 touches last week, and neither of them, besides finding the end zone, really did a whole lot productive with those carries. So I'm going to wait to see how that sorts out before I put any more Ravens in my lineup. And as for the Bengals, I think you just got to play your regular guys. You drafted them in these positions to play. So you're playing Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins. I mean, you just have to keep riding these guys and expect that they're not going to get shut out or have 3 catches or whatever like Chase did last week. So keep playing those Bengals and hope for the better results this week.
Only one designed run for Lamar Jackson. That's a little scary. Chance of rain again in the forecast. Cincinnati favored by 3. Justin, Seattle, Detroit.
All right. Well, on the Seattle side of the ball, let's keep it simple. Start the vets and sit the rest. Geno Smith is in the trenches. DK Metcalf, I am playing him. Kenneth Walker, he's in there. Tyler Lockett, and then I'm sitting everyone else. I'm staying away from Jackson Smith and Jigba right now, as well as Zach Charbonnet. They didn't get a whole lot of love in that first game. Geno Smith didn't look great, but I think it's a decent matchup this week against Detroit. So those are my 4 starts on the Seattle side of the ball. Moving over to the Detroit Lions, I talked about it earlier, but Jared Goff, don't be afraid to trench him. I'll put him in there if you had Aaron Rodgers go down. Amon Ross St. Brown, he is absolutely in the trenches. Looks like a great pick if he's a receiver you got in the early second round or late first round. I'm going to trench David Montgomery as well. Jahmyr Gibbs, I'll put in a flex. He looked good. He didn't have a ton of touches, but when he did get the ball, he looked good watching that game. So I'm brave. I'll put him in the trenches as a flex. Sam Laporta, I'll throw him in at tight end. He's heavily involved. If he's on your waiver wire, I would go grab him because I think he's going to be heavily involved all season long. And that's it on the Detroit side of the ball. In all honesty, between the 2 defenses, I'd trench Detroit's. I'd stay away from Seattle's.
Detroit favored by 4.5 points. Eric, back to you. Indianapolis, Houston.
All right, John, we got a battle of the 2 rookies, quarterbacks. The 2 have been friends since high school, so we'll see what happens. Should be a fun game to watch with the 2 young quarterbacks out there. But I'm not putting either one of those guys in the trenches. There's not a lot of play here, John. If it's my fantasy team, I don't think I'm playing a single guy in this game except for maybe Michael Pittman and maybe Richardson in a 2 quarterback league. That's it on either side of the ball, John. Very easy take on this game.
Richardson looked pretty good. Houston favored by 1.5. Over to you, Jack. This should be a barn burner. Kansas City, Jacksonville.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. On the Kansas City side, we got Patrick Mahomes, obviously. Kelce still was wobbling Thursday. It's a Sunday noon game, so I'd have a backup ready just in case, but obviously if he's a go, if that questionable tag comes off, then, you got to get him in there straight away. On to the receiving core here, John. Rashee Rice had 5 targets, and so did your boy Kadarius Toney. Now, Kadarius Toney was able to come up with 1 catch for 1 yard and 1 rushing attempt for -1 yard, so he netted 0 yards on the day with a turnover. He was the MVP for the opposing team. Don't start Kadarius Toney. Get him off your team. Get him out of the NFL. If you're not a good enough receiver to hang around Daniel Jones, you got no business being around Patrick Mahomes. Let's just be very clear about that. Pacheco had 4 targets in the receiving game out of the running back slot. So If you're going to start an RB, I'd go with Pacheco. If you're going to start a wide receiver, it is literally a roulette wheel crapshoot right now. The targets are pretty evenly spread across the board, and they're all doing the same kind of performance. None of these guys are standing out. It's still the tight ends game. So I would like to stick to tight ends, running backs. And if you got to start a receiver, it's literally throw a dart. On to the Jacksonville. Does that make sense, John, with your Kadarius Toney?
Yep, I'm a
Kadarius Toney.
Big Kadarius Toney guy over here. Yeah.
Okay, just making sure you understood that we don't start Kadarius Toney. So, okay, on to the Jacksonville side of the ball. T. Lawrence, keep him in there. Ridley, boom, huge week. God, why didn't Atlanta keep him? He's in the trenches. ETN, if I'm pronouncing his name right, but Junior's in there. I'm keeping him in the trenches. I'll give you some Jones and Kirk. I think better receiving options than anything going on in Kansas City right now. Ingram's good at tight end. And that's where I stop it. I don't start either defense. I like for this to be a high-scoring game. Whatever it is, I take the over. But Kansas City should win.
Rain is likely for this game in Jacksonville. And Kansas City favored by 3.5 over-under. Highest on the week is 51. Lyle, Chicago and Tampa Bay.
I got an old NFC North collision here. Bears and Tampa. I think you really got to stick with the three main Bears. You're playing Justin Fields. You drafted him as a starter. You're playing him. Khalil Herbert, not his best first week, but I think he's a low-end RB2. You just got to keep plugging him in your lineup. And I think it's just like everything with the Chicago lineup. You got to downgrade everything. I think DJ Moore, instead of counting on him as being a wide receiver 2, hopefully you can pencil him in as your wide receiver 3 and get some production that way. I'm not playing any other Bears. As for Tampa, Baker Mayfield, I kind of like him more in like a daily lineup than I do actual, you know, head-to-head or matchups in your fantasy league. So I'm not playing Baker if you can help it. Rashad White, I do like him as an RB2. I think he's going to get the volume, and they clearly like handing him the football. I think he had his 20 touches against the Vikes last week. And then the two receivers, Mike Evans is a wide receiver 3, and Chris Godwin's a wide receiver 3. Keep those guys in the trenches, and the Tampa Bay defense for sure in the trenches this week.
Yeah, keep Mike Evans. He's probably going to get traded here in the next couple of weeks. Tampa Bay favored by 2.5. Rain in the forecast.
I'm surprised it's not more than that.
Yeah. Justin, Los Angeles Chargers, Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. All right. So on the Chargers side of the ball, Tennessee, well, at least in week one, showed they are still terrible against wide receivers in passing games. So Justin Herbert, start him. Austin Eckler, if he plays, start him. Keenan Allen, start him. Mike Williams, start him. These guys are all, you know, number one or number twos at their position this week. And then if you've got injury problems, even if Eckler plays, Josh Kelly, I would put him in your flex spot. If he's on your waiver wire for some reason, go get him right now. Drop any number of people you have to pick him up. He's going to be a valuable handcuff going forward at worst, and potential, you know, RB1 if Eckler ever misses real time. He looked real good last week. And that's it on the Chargers side of the ball. I'm staying away from Everett. I mean, he was not very involved last week, so he may be down the road, but right now I'm not putting him out there. I'll take a shot at some other tight end. There's plenty of options. Over on the Tennessee side of the ball, you know, you don't even got to look. Derrick Henry, he's in the trenches. That's it. Let's move on. Who's next, John?
Chargers favored by 3. Eric, back to you for the late afternoon games. My man, Daniel Jones, taking on the Arizona Cardinals.
Giving me another snoozer, John. But, you know, who am I putting in the trenches? There's a few starters on the Giants side of the ball. I'm benching Daniel Jones. He's a garbage play. You don't even want him on your team. Saquon Barkley, you drafted him in the first round. Go ahead and put him safely in the trenches. He's all they have. And then Darren Waller, he's a guy that you can start. If he's out there, obviously he should be started each and every week. But he is injured, so make sure you pay attention to that. And I don't mind rolling that Giants defense out against Arizona. Arizona looked better than we thought they would look, and you know, as Danny Green would say, but they are who we thought they were. But they did look better than expected. On the Arizona side of the ball, with that being said, James Conner, he's worth a start. He's probably the only guy I'm starting here, except for maybe Zach Ertz, if you don't have any better options at tight end. Probably putting Hollywood Brown on the bench, Joshua Dobbs on the bench. These are all guys that you should keep on your team, put them on the bench. Let's see what happens. I'm definitely benching that quarterback out there as well, John.
New York Giants favored by 5.5. Jack, San Francisco, and the Rams.
Well, San Fran, this is the tale of two cities here, John. Everyone in San Francisco pretty much is getting a start. Ayuk, Debo, Purdy, McCaffrey, Kittle, the defense for sure. I mean, it just looks like an amazing team. If Purdy turns out to be the real deal, which so far he's shown he kind of is, you know, what a week out of Ayuk last week. Wow. Onto the Rams side of the ball. Not as favorable here. So what's weird is I've got some starts on offense, but I'm going to bench the quarterback. I just don't think Matthew Stafford's the one to get it done. But that said, Nacua, Williams, Higby, I like. Akers in a real desperate, you know, 2RB flex, 3RB flex spot. I don't like going to any of the other receivers, but it's weird to give you so many offensive starts without starting the QB. But 334, no touchdowns against Pittsburgh doesn't inspire confidence against San Francisco when it's such a more potent defense. So, yeah, lots of starts in San Fran, a few in LA, and San Fran will cover whatever the number is.
San Francisco is favored by 7.5 points. Lyle, New York Jets minus Aaron Rodgers. The Zach Wilson era begins again against the Dallas Cowboys defense.
Yeah, part two for Zach Wilson. So yeah, it's very dramatic, but yeah, unless Wilson really turns things around, you're not playing him in fantasy sports for the near future anyway. He's going to have to earn some fantasy respect before guys are going to put him in the lineup. And it downgrades everybody in the lineup. I know Breece Hall only had about 10 touches on Monday night, but he looked reasonably well. I know there was some joking about his top-end speed and why he couldn't take that one to the house on the 83-yarder, but I think Hall's a pretty solid RB2 and at least a flex option this week. I think you could probably do the same thing with Dalvin Cook because he did get 16 touches last week, and if you can, any running back that's getting that much volume should be at least a flex play. And again, Garrett Wilson, I like him a lot as a player, but you've probably got to downgrade him to a wide receiver too. Not playing any of the other receivers like Lazard, Cobb, or Tyler Conklin for the Jets. As for Dallas, you're playing your guys. You're playing Dak. You're playing Tony Pollard. Clear RB1 now that they've moved on from Ezekiel Elliott. CeeDee Lamb's a wide receiver one. I think the real decision where you're going to have to see more football out of Dallas is to where they cut off for the wide receiver two spot, Brandon Cooks or Michael Gallup. I think if I had to lean one right now, I'd play Cooks over Gallup. I'm not playing Ferguson at tight end, but I am definitely suiting up that Dallas D against the Jets.
Yeah, keep an eye on Brandon Cooks if you've got him on your team. Dallas favored by 9.5. Washington, Denver, Justin.
Oh, all right, John. Well, let's see here. Sam Howell is on the bench. Don't be starting him. There's no world where you should have to unless, I guess, you drafted him and Aaron Rodgers, and that's it. But, you know, if you have Howell, hopefully you can go pick up Goff and start him instead. That being said, if you're going to start Terry McLaurin, which you should, you have to start Jahan Dotson as well. He had 7 targets to Terry McLaurin's 4 last week. He led all Washington receivers in targets. So they're both in the trenches. Solid flexes. Wide receiver 2, and Brian Robinson looked to be the number one running back. I mean, he was getting receptions last week as well. It wasn't, you know, amazing, but he was getting some volume. So Brian Robinson, I'll put him in as an RB2. That's it. I'm not playing the defense. I'm not trenching Antonio Gibson right now. He's staying on my bench. Over to the Denver side of the ball. Javonte Williams, he looked pretty good last week. He's in the trenches, absolute RB2 for you. I mean, there's not a ton of running backs that stood out last week in any way, so I'll play him for sure. Jerry Jeudy is in your lineup. Looks like he's going to play, so get him out there, which is amazing. Courtland Sutton had his opportunity last week, and he did what he didn't. So I'm leaving him on the bench, and that's it. I'm staying away from the defense as well as P. Ryan this week.
Denver is favored by 3.5 points. Now, that is going to do it for the radio version of the Fantasy Football Foursome. We've still got games to break down, so if you want to hear those, please go to our app. It's free and available for Android and iPhone devices, or go online to 941theloon.com. We want to thank our sponsors, West Central Trophies, ACC Midwest Transportation, Ruff's Wings and Sports Bar, and the United States Marine Corps. And if there is any way whatsoever we can help you with your fantasy football lineups or trades or anything like that, shoot us a text on that Loon text line, 320-434-1234. We will be back on the app and online with more Fantasy Football Foursome. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.